not
it's
going in there,
been
Jim. Do we have to
all
start
right.
again or not? I guess just basically say attendance, or I don't know.
Okay,
yeah.
let's start over. We
okay,
need to start over. Somebody forgot to press record. I think left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing, and the right hand didn't know what the left hand wasn't doing. So I apologize, but we're going to have to start back over to you reconvening the meeting and taking a roll call again. We haven't covered anything of substance, but we at least need to get that on the record.
Yep, we'll do that. This is the Planning Commission meeting for June 23rd, 2021. In response to the Governor's Proclamation 2028, the Planning Commission will hold all of their regular and scheduled meetings via Zoom video conference until further notice. Roll call will be done now. Ryan Kelso.
Here.
Vicki Malloy.
Here.
Will Wiggs.
Present.
Doug England.
Here.
Carl Blum is here. Ed Martinez.
Here.
Joel Walensky.
Here.
Excellent. Next order of business is the minutes from the last meeting of May 26th. Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I've moved to approve the minutes for meeting of May 26th.
Is there a second?
This is Vicki, I second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the May 26th meeting. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay, minutes are approved. Doug, thank you very much for catching that. Let's open it up to public comment on any matter that may not be on the agenda, if we have anyone. Does not sound like we do.
Don't see anybody raising their hand using the raise their hand feature.
Indeed. Old business. Is there any old business that's not on the agenda that we need to address? Well, that's a first. Okay, let's move on to new business, which is the 2021 Draft Zoning Code Amendments Workshop. I'll turn it over to staff for their presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Catherine Lorbeer with the Community Development. So I'm going to just take a moment here to share my screen. All right, can everyone see that okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, perfect. So good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. Tonight is your workshop on the draft zoning code amendments. So we are going to give you a brief introduction of each of the amendments. These came from the board on their 2021 docket, so they set out the scope of work for us this year. And so there's no action requested tonight, but we do appreciate your questions and feedback. So here's the list that we're going to walk through today. And just a reminder about some of the criteria when these come back to you for a public hearing and decision. These are the criteria that we look through. So do they address a public land use issue or problem? Are they consistent with the goals of the Growth Management Act? Do they support our comprehensive plan goals and policies? That they're not going to adversely affect resource lands or designated critical areas, and that they're based on sound planning practices and would further the general health, safety, and welfare of the public. So we're going to start off with the city UGA amendments. And this year we're focusing on Wenatchee and Chelan. So as you know, the zoning code really applies to the unincorporated areas of the county. And then there are unincorporated urban growth boundaries within there. And those, the county adopts the city standards when they're appropriate for those urban growth areas. So to assist us with these amendments, the county has been working with Burke Consulting and focusing, as I mentioned, on Chelan and Wenatchee. So the consultants are identifying potential topics for discussion prior to us adopting these. And it's really to make sure that the county considerations are being addressed. So at this point in the presentation, I'm going to introduce Lisa Johnson and Lisa Gruder, and they're going to walk us through the next few slides.
Hi, thank you. I'm Lisa Johnson. As Catherine mentioned, I'm an urban planner with Berg Consulting. I've been working on looking at the Wenatchee and Chelan updates, and I believe Lisa Gruder is here with us as well.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Lisa.
Yeah, we thought that we could start maybe by just reviewing the MOU that kind of governs this process, about what Catherine was just covering, that the county adopts the land use regulations of the cities for the areas that are in each city's UDA. And land use regulations, as well as street standards and public works updates. So this process is aligning with countywide planning policies and consistent with GMA. And we'll be looking at the resolutions and ordinances from 2017 through 2021, which is the last time that these have been updated for these two cities. So we'll start by looking at the city of Wenatchee this month. Next month, we'll take a look at some of the highlights from Chelan, but we'll start with kind of the big topic areas that we've been working through in the city of Wenatchee code updates. We have 16 ordinances and resolutions that we're considering for this amendment package. And we've called out some of the kind of big ticket topics that are included here, some new technology related uses being added to the land use table, some zoning boundary changes, some amendments to the signage code, the housing code, and then other updates such as subdivision road standards and smaller use standards. So we'll kind of go through some of the bigger topic areas just so everyone can be aware of what's upcoming. The first is cell tower regulations. So the city added detail for small cell facilities, microcells, distributed antenna systems, some of these newer technologies, integrating throughout zoning code. So this would apply across.
Lisa, your sound is breaking up just a little bit.
I think she froze, actually.
I don't
interesting that it was on the cell tower regulation.
Catherine, do you want me to just do a few slides until Lisa rejoins?
Yes.
Okay. So Lisa was just mentioning the city's adoption of new cell regulations. Some of that was prompted by the need to meet some new federal standards, and the county's also working through this issue. So this is an issue that would apply in the UGA only. The county's proposals would apply outside of where the city regulations are applied. So,
I'm trying to advance the screen. Here we go.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, here we go.
One of the other topics was cryptocurrency mining and data centers. It adds that use to the industrial use table, and it sets some performance standards for certain uses. And it is not something that's currently in the county code, but it, if adopted here, the county would apply the city standards. And Catherine and others in the Community Development Department will be determining what standards make sense for elsewhere in the county.
This is Joel. Mm-hmm. Has the PUD weighed in on that cryptocurrency mining and data centers ordinance?
When Lisa returns, I'd ask her to weigh in. The city provided us a...
I'm back.
Oh, great.
Sorry, Lisa. About that. I don't know what happened.
No problem. So Lisa, I don't know how much you've heard of the discussion, but Commissioner Walensky was asking if the Chelan Public Utility District weighed in on this topic. And I know the city provided us, you know, a resolution identifying their public review process. So I don't know if it came to your attention when you were reviewing the details, if the PUD was involved.
I'd have to check. I'd have to go back to check my notes for this one. We did send several of the resolutions to the Public Works Department, but I'm not sure that this was one of them.
Oh, this is Public Utility District. So it's a different agency.
Excuse me.
The power provider.
Yeah. So this is a good question. We can bring back your questions for, you know, for the next meeting. We have to kind of look through in more detail the city's process, but I can see it's a great question, and I assume they would have had the opportunity to comment through the city's SEPA process.
Yeah, I just know that they had proposed some specific language regarding anything having to do with cryptocurrency mining, so I just wanted to make sure they got involved with that.
Okay, we will check into that. Lisa, do you want to take it from here?
Sure. Hopefully my sound will come through okay this time.
Yeah.
So next up was a zoning map amendment here in the western portion of the UGA. You can see highlighted on the map. On the right side, it shows the existing county zoning, which is the residential low. And on the left, you see the city's proposed rezone for this area. The top is green, which they are identifying as this residential foothills. And then the bottom pink is residential low. And so these are lower density residential zones, and they're part of the wildfire protection plan for the area, looking at the wildland urban interface and making some changes. They have checked this through the overall land capacity for the area. And even though it's a slightly less housing capacity with these changes, it's still proposed as part of this plan. And the change would require a comprehensive plan update as well for the land use map. The next topic we've been reviewing are the sign code updates. So the main topics included here are clutter, non-conforming signs, temporary signs, and non-conforming billboards. And then we just made note of the pretty extensive outreach effort that's documented through this process. And a big topic in the amendments is the housing code. So this first set from 2019-35, 36, and 43 amend the housing code, the design guidelines, and subdivision standards. So this will apply across the residential zones in the UGA. And again, there was pretty significant public engagement process documented here. And a big focus of this update are to incorporate more missing middle housing types within residential zones. And if you can go back one slide, the next set is another set of housing updates from 2020. So it kind of builds upon the 2019 updates, makes some further changes, and but kind of along the same vein, and again, documented the engagement process with those. So those are the topic areas that we've been reviewing for Wenatchee, and we can pause for any questions that you might have on these.
Yeah, Lisa, this is Carl Blum. So everything you're showing me in terms of what has been done, that has been done at the city level, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so anything that there was, I think the previous slide talked about a planning commission, that would be the city planning commission. Is that correct?
Correct. Although there was, I think for the 2019 updates, they noted a planning workshop with the county commission as well.
And I think
is this for just Wenatchee, or is this Wenatchee and City of Chelan?
Just Wenatchee.
Just Wenatchee. Okay.
Do we have overlapping areas of interest, like the Chelan, this Chelan Commission versus the Wenatchee Commission? Do they have overlapping areas, boundaries that they're responsible for?
Each city is responsible for planning for its city limits and its assigned urban growth area. So that's the basis for bringing this forward, is that memorandum of understanding that Lisa covered earlier, going back to the mid-90s, basically indicates this desire to have the county apply city standards for zoning and roads and other things, so that as the areas develop and ultimately, if and when they annex, there's a common, so, you know, look and feel, character to the area. And I believe both cities, but in this case, Lisa's been presenting Wenatchee, they identify common or joint notices and joint comment periods. They don't necessarily hold joint planning commission meetings.
No. Yeah, but they do have like for example, I guess they're not under the tax code of Wenatchee. Like I think Houston used to do the same thing too. They would spider out, and then as people basically developed and became essentially quote unquote taxable in a very purposeful way, Houston would annex them. So this is the pre-annex, but so they're not annexed yet, but they're basically in high consideration to be annexed. Is that right?
Right. Under the Growth Management Act, there's a series of goals that you're probably familiar with that talk about focusing growth in urban areas and providing public services. In and amongst all that are statements about cities being the primary providers of urban services. And that their urban areas should be sized appropriately for the growth that's planned for them. And the county's role is to size those urban boundaries, allocate growth out, you know, growth targets. And both the county and the cities adhere to the countywide planning policies as an umbrella. So one of the ways in which the countywide planning policies were implemented was through that memorandum of understanding that established this joint county-city, application of common standards in those urban areas. It doesn't force people to annex to those communities, but those are on tap, basically, to likely go into those cities should the property owners, you know, put forward petitions or there's an election of some kind. So this is sort of getting them ready.
So they don't get to vote for the mayor, say, or the city council, but they have to apply for cups through the city,
no,
as opposed to the county.
The county will still conduct all the permit procedures. So I don't remember if on that slide, Lisa, it shows the details of the language, but the county applies the city's standards except for the procedures.
Okay. Thank you.
And I believe there's also like a joint notification or like reciprocal notification that Catherine and Jim may want to speak to, but each community, the county and the city each provide notices of permit applications that may influence or impact the adjacent jurisdiction boundary.
Lisa, how is this codified? Is it in our county code?
Yes, but before we get into that, Catherine, was there something you wanted to mention?
I was just gonna add to your Ed's question about process. So when an application comes in for development within the urban growth area and we send out a notice of application, we let the city know that we've received something. So as you were describing, kind of that joint, or at least keeping each other in the loop on proposals that are going on in the growth areas.
And Commissioner Bloom, the way it's worked so far, is that there is a section in the county code that is really process oriented, and it says something to the effect of, you know, the county hereby adopts the plan for development regulations of each city. And then there's like a long string of resolutions that means that after the county reviewed and identified which were appropriate regulations, it would agree to apply in the UGAs. There's attached to each resolution pages from the applicable city codes or maps that show what the county is agreeing to implement.
Okay, so it's not everything of the city, it's what the county agrees to.
Right, there's not a lot of discussion in the MOU about what is included or not, but I think, Catherine, it's fair to say the county's interest is to make sure there's not conflicting reviews, or there are some standards that the county takes more time with to make sure there's not any kind of direct issues. But barring any kind of other legal requirement that the county may need to follow, the county has appeared to adopt those city standards to follow that MOU.
How many UGAs does this apply to?
It's all the incorporated city, the UGAs assigned to the cities. So
every one of them in the county that's assigned to the city.
I believe so. I can't think of one that isn't addressed. I think it's every one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe all the cities have signed on to that UGA agreement.
Okay.
So they each have individual.
And this process happens how often?
Well, I think it's meant to happen annually or whenever the cities adopt something that is applicable. But Catherine can share that this was a collection of a few years.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. So normally you would see these on an annual basis, like last year's amendments we would be putting on our docket to get through our process the following year. But since 2017, it doesn't appear that many of these have been brought forward to you. So we understand this is a big lift, and that's why we're just focusing on Chelan and Wenatchee this year. And then we'll slowly get everybody back on track and be more of an annual process.
And what we just saw was only Wenatchee, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is just another example of what we're trying to fix that was in serious need of catching up in this department when Catherine and I came there.
I understand, and you all are doing a great job of it. I don't envy you.
But it also requires an inordinate amount of work by the Planning Commission because this stuff is in such arrears. So I apologize. We're just trying to get it in the place it needs to be.
Well, I think we all understand that, and I hope that we all appreciate what you're trying to do.
Just out of curiosity, why wasn't this in the packet? Is it, did I miss something? Or is this just it's obviously for our information only, but is that why?
Ed, it was in the packet under I description, city UGA amendments.
Yeah, we gave
the very end.
Chairman and commissioners, we gave you just a general introduction, and then we this breakdown to give you some of the high level topics today. So we will be slowly feeding you the meat of all these amendment requests. We're just trying to get the ball rolling here so that you have an idea of what's coming.
Okay, so the details were intended for the meeting. Got it. Thank you.
Are there any more questions before we move on from UGA? If not, well, thank you, Lisa's, for providing that. I am going to go ahead and move on then to some of the county code amendments that we're considering. So first, we did receive a request from Localtel to look at our application and review standards for wireless communication facilities. And really, we just want to make bring these provisions of the code more in line with what the industry practices are and what the technology is out there. And at a minimum, we need to make sure that wireless communication facilities are a use that is actually shown on our district use chart. And we're also looking at the possibility of dividing, like creating three facility types, and they would be distinguished based on kind of the size of the WCF and its visual impact. We're also looking at on the use table that maybe the really tall towers would trigger the need for a conditional use permit. So we are working with Localtel and their attorney to collaborate on some language for this section. So we will have more information coming, but this is generally the direction that we're exploring right now. So I don't know if you have any questions before I move on from WCS.
So I have a question. This is Joel. The I thought I read somewhere where I know there's the wireless communications facilities, the large towers, but I also thought there were some court decisions on those mini towers. Those would be wireless communications facilities that would be connected to, like, I don't know, either telephone poles or electric poles.
Right.
And is this going to cover that, or?
Mr. No. Chairman and Commissioner, we would probably have a facility type that would deal with those. They're called small cells.
Yep.
And you can see they often are co-located on, like you said, on the top of a telephone pole. They might be integrated into a light pole. You may see those more in actually the more urbanized areas. And I know that was one of the things that Wenatchee, one of their code amendments, was to address the small cell technology. So we will have some language to deal with the smaller facilities.
Okay.
All right. So I am going to move on to the next topic is livestock. And actually this was, we were asked by the board to look at this question, and it would be for properties outside the urban growth areas and to look at reducing the number of poultry allowed and also to limit the location and number for roosters. And this is really in response to some noise concerns that have been generated over the last year or so. And in your staff report, we gave you an example of the possible text that we would be considering, which would reduce it from, I believe, a number of 24 down to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So my comment would be, I think the staff needs to go back and look at what sustainable numbers are for at least poultry, because I don't think your 6 actually is a sustainable number. And then the other question, the couple of comments here, and I've walked around on my daily walks through the county area. There's a number of trailer home type parks that a number of our residents keep poultry, and I don't think they're necessarily would be, you know, contained to the 6 number. And so I'd like to know a little bit about how that would be enforced, because I think they're doing it on a sustainable level. And then I think those are the two things I have of concern right now. The one other question, I'm just thinking about this logically, is that, okay, if you set the number at 6, and your flock needs to be reproduced on an every two-year basis or annual basis. So at some point in time, you'll have an additional 6 animals. So that would give you 12, because technically, well, just listening, you know, just knowing chickens only produce for a two-year basis. So you need to replenish that stock. So at some point in time, if you want to be ongoing and sustainable, you will have double your flock to make sure that you can continue on. And this is only on egg producers. And then there's the whole other question of just producing for, you know, sustainability in terms of food. And so those are some questions that need to be looked at.
I'm with Joel as well in knowing a variety of different people that farm off of or work with these animals and live off of things that they produce. And I'm very concerned in reducing their quantities of what they work with. I mean, it's similar to gardening or anything else that someone may be doing. So I would like them to stay up at the level of where they've been for those that choose to live off of their land.
Mr. Chairman, I would also like to, as part of our later discussion, see how this meshes with our right to farm statement by Chelan County. It gets a little old when people move into the county and they complain because they can hear a chicken.
I think I also mentioned, I had I had some emails with Catherine and with Jim on this. I think, and I basically was kind of like scratching around at talking to folks around here about it. And they really literally, when they read this, they literally asked me, does anybody on the Planning Commission have chickens? First off, chickens are not livestock, is what they basically pointed out to me. But they did say the minute that, like, I think that Joel, the minute a rabbit does have one particular, I don't know, is it called brood or litter or whatever? That's it. Get your hot pot ready because you can't keep them on your place anymore. And then the other thing that basically was mentioned to me is that we're kind of like, 35% ag in this area is basically, that's the employment. And so we want to try to basically encourage that in our county. And so things like this would basically discourage 4-H and FFA endeavors, in particular around the roosters. We should look at that because apparently there are certain chickens that you will only basically, survive or whatever. I'm not sure what the details are with a rooster around. So 2 chickens per rooster or something like that. So some of this stuff here seems a bit limiting. And not only that, but, 6 is actually like even worse than Seattle. Seattle has 8. So I don't know where we threw the dart and landed on 6, but it seems like an arbitrary number. That's all I have to say about that.
If I may add some perspective here from where this came from, this was actual language that was proposed by a county commissioner. So that's where this came from. Staff didn't come up with this. This was in response to a county commissioner that was being responsive to several constituents. And then we were requested through the docket process by the entire board to include this, exploring this issue. Doesn't mean it has to be what you're seeing in print, but that's how this wound up on the docket. This isn't something that the staff came up with.
Okay.
Can I propose to staff to consider that if the problem is noise, then maybe there are other ways to address the noise issue. I have nothing to suggest, but seems to me that's what the issue is.
I don't know how you put a muzzle on a chicken, but maybe there's some other way to deal with that. Make them have to.
I don't know either.
And I don't think it's the chickens that are the problem, it's the roosters. And that's why they're excluding roosters entirely from 2 of the items here, one less than 1/2 acre, and the other one that is 1 acre or greater up to 5 acres. And it's the roosters that you know, whatever in the early morning that's causing the problem.
Well, not to get too in depth here, but I know there are certain segments of our population that need, or at least believe, that fertilized eggs are what they want to eat. And whether it's their religious beliefs or whether it's their cultural beliefs, not certain, but I do know that is part of the reason why they keep a rooster.
Interesting.
All right. Thank you, commissioners, for that feedback. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next topic. Mm-hmm. This was also an item requested by the board. And they're asking us to look at possibly extending the deadline for comprehensive plan amendment applications to June 1st when it advances economic development. And it would essentially give the director of economic development the ability to give this extension if the project really contributed to the vitality of the county. So we are right now, we're evaluating possible text and whether there's other needed cross-references throughout the code. But this is generally the idea of extending the deadline to June.
Comment?
Is that,
okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Joel, go ahead.
Yeah, my only comment would be, I would just want to make sure that staff has the timelines that the planning commission or and the county commissioners have the time to from a June 1st deadline for those proposals. I think it's a great idea, by the way, but just make sure we have the time to do that.
I wanted to ask staff who the is the director of economic development. Is that Blake Baldwin?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. You met him last year when we did that code amendment.
Yes.
In the economic development section. Yes.
Okay. Can you remind me what the deadline is now?
It is March 1st, Commissioner. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to move on to the next. Next two, in fact, and actually Jim is going to jump in and share a little bit more detail on these two.
So we are in need of, and it's actually been on the docket for a couple of cycles now, a visit to the Title 16 code enforcement title for several different reasons. Number one, it just needs a little bit of updating anyway, even if it was going to be left in its current form, but because of changes that have occurred with regard to the sheriff's office taking on code enforcement and the desire of the board to move code enforcement, at least in part, to a citation-based system rather than the notice and order-based system, so that when you have things like code enforcement violations that are connected to tenants at short-term rentals, you would be able to have a deputy essentially just write a ticket, like you get a traffic ticket or you get a trespassing ticket or anything like that, and be done with it and not have to go through a formal notice and order process. Also, notice and order violations are only applicable to the property owner or the property, whereas Title 16 could be conceivably crafted to address those who are utilizing properties such as tenants or certain sections. We've already addressed the sheriff's office having code enforcement. We did not need to come to the Planning Commission for a limited amendment that did not involve development regulation portion of Title 16. And we were able to provide through the board the sheriff's office authority under the administrator's authority to essentially act on my behalf, the same as staff that are assigned to code enforcement can. So that process is operating under that model. So all the clunkiness that already existed in Title 16 is now what the code enforcement deputies are having to deal with in order to do that. Some of that would be retained for major violations, major land use violations. There would still be the administrative pieces and penalties that are connected to that under Title 16. We would retain much of that language, but it just needs a restructuring and a scrub to get into reality of how we're operating today.
Question or comment? I think it's a great idea. I'm wondering, well, I'm just hoping that the county attorney is going to weigh in on what the language should look like, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We,
okay,
all the codes that we do, this, they won't write this code, but this code is unenforceable if the prosecutor's office doesn't feel it's enforceable. So
okay,
this, more than probably any other example we have, will have severe scrutiny by the prosecutor's office before anything is actually, probably even before it's brought before you.
Okay, good.
And it may not occur in this cycle. This is a big lift. This is going to involve a consultant. I will probably oversee this project personally, much like I have short-term rentals in my background. And the fact that I have just recently created the new code enforcement program that is operating, and the code enforcement on paper reports to the sheriff's office, but from a functional perspective, they're essentially interacting with me daily, and every Thursday morning we have a sit down and we go over current cases, new cases, any issues with implementation and all of that stuff. So from a practical standpoint, I'm functioning like a supervisor for them now.
I just think it's a very good tool for the new regulations that you've written up. It'll be interesting to see how it writes up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before it comes to you, we will have to work with a consultant. So the reality is, given our challenges with this heavy docket, there's a 50-50 chance you won't see it in this year, even though we'd like to, and there's a big need. There's a lot of big needs. And just the city codes issue, as you've seen, yeah, is way behind. So we're trying to figure out how to move this very big docket forward. And this is just another big.
Jim, do you anticipate that the actual fines and penalties will change?
Yes, probably not for the notice and order violations, which are set at $750 a day and $1,500 for repeat violations. But we would come up with a penalty structure that addresses minor violations like parking in the road, or, you know, exceeding your parking on your lot, or things like that that shouldn't have to go through a notice and order. A code enforcement deputy could arrive. You got 50 junk vehicles. I've told you three times you need to haul them. Here's your ticket. You're in district court now, have to come back, write a notice and order. We do a staff report. We set up a hearing with the hearing examiner. It goes through the whole quasi-judicial process. If it's appealed, it jumps to a superior court LUPA. That's not the way to be handling routine. Let's even use the chicken example. Let's say somebody's got 30 roosters. We shouldn't have to go through a full notice and order violation. That's pretty clear cut. They get due process. They would get to go to district court, but it might be a $150 fine for a first offense, things like that. Then this draconian $750 and treat it the same as if somebody had some major land use issue that they were doing. It's right now the code is one size fits all. And I don't think that's practical. And I don't think it's, in some might argue it's not fair or proportionate.
I think I got it without question. The current system doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Commissioner England, I think that's a big part, at least in part, why historically there's been problems with the follow through all the way to the end on code enforcement, because it's so obvious. And you essentially have to bring the prosecutor in on each and every one of these to go through the full hearing process. And It just pretty soon it swamps the system.
Doesn't make sense.
Work.
Good so work. On, Phil, if there's no other questions. Phil and Grade, I don't have a lot of details on this. This is something that's been on the docket for a couple of years. That is an item that is referenced, that code, which does not exist, is referenced as an element within the comprehensive plan. It refers to filling grade ordinance and compliance with the county filling grade ordinance. We don't have one. Every single time a person gets on a piece of equipment and digs a hole in the ground, that requires a fill and grade permit. There are pretty definitive triggers, and they're fairly large projects. Typically, counties such as ours will look at having agricultural exemptions or certain agricultural exemptions. So that is a code that we need to get working on. We'll also involve a consultant. There are other examples of fill and grade ordinances that are in effect, not only in the state of Washington, but include Eastern Washington as well. So there are some models out there for us to look at, but we will need to be reaching out to a consultant to help us at least get started on that, because we don't have any. It's not like, for example, our SMP or our CAO or any of that, where we were amending something. This is something we will be starting from scratch, so we don't even have a baseline to work.
This is something that's been brought up in the past, though, as well. I've talked with commissioners in the past, and a lot of them have been, it's basically dealing with erosion issues and stuff that occur that go from one property to another property, or stuff being tracked out on the roads.
I can give an example from this last spring, I think it was. Couple of different phone calls I got from a gentleman that was doing a significant amount of fill and grade and excavation, and had boulders tumbling down onto neighboring properties, tumbling out into the river, going down into the irrigation canal of the irrigation district, and us not having anything. They don't need a permit. They don't. And maybe even in a subsequent ordinance, that example might not fit in it. I don't know. I'm just using it for a discussion. But it was one of those where I can't do anything about it. I can pick up the telephone and ask him to knock it off just like you can, but there's nothing that if he fails to do, all you could do, I guess, is sue him. But there's nothing for the county to regulate that. And I'm not advocating that we regulate each and every facet of people's lives. I'm just saying that that's there for a reason, where you're doing large scale projects or things that, because of slope or slope stability or whatever, are causing clear threats or risks to adjacent property.
But you're also adding another level of bureaucracy that'll be created with it that will affect other items that aren't thought of here, but other issues.
I'd be more than happy not to have this on the docket if the board so chose, but it is also in, like I said, it's in the comprehensive plan. So somebody somewhere along the line before me was involved in having that be part of the comp plan. So we're trying to follow through with that earlier charge.
We don't have necessarily your research that you've actually conducted yet, nor any sort of like concerns or issues. You're just basically saying that you're going to look into it, right? So I think it's probably best to identify those things before we just basically say, no, let's just take it off.
Well, I get what you're saying, but I report to the county commissioners, and the county commissioners have identified this as an item they want.
I agree with it.
So I don't have the luxury of saying, well, I don't think we need to do this. I can say that, but
I see.
Prior to me, the decisions were made, and perhaps Commissioner England can provide some of that, because it was on the prior docket before I arrived, but I don't know. I just don't know the history of it.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, just a comment and then a question.
Yeah.
All you have to do is come up to the Lake Chelan Valley, and at the absurd prices that people are getting for view lots, people are scraping very, very steep hillsides trying to make a landing area for a house. And you don't have to go anywhere without being able to see what's going on. My question would be, are there any cities within Chelan County that within their city limits don't have a grade and fill? permit.
I know. I don't have the answer to that.
I think they all do.
I would agree. I think
they I know do. Chelan does. Wenatchee does. I don't know about Leavenworth.
Leavenworth does.
That just leaves Eniat.
And Cashmere.
Yeah.
I'm happy to discuss further, but I don't know what I don't know because I
think it's an important issue that we need to keep on the list.
I'm sorry.
So in summary.
I think it's an important issue that we need to keep on the list and at least talk about.
So, you know, on the one hand, I hear Ryan and the comments made about more bureaucracy, but at the same time, a fill and grade permit is actually, in terms of development, might be a useful tool that allows development to move forward while their other building permits and development move forward. If they can get the initial fill and grade, that starts their project. It's a tool that could work in both ways.
In possibly large projects, but not small projects.
That's true. That's true. I would say. I would agree. Yeah.
Do you think, Ryan or anyone, that it's already happening? That people are moving dirt before they have their building permit?
I know that people move dirt before their permit, probably more than 60% of the projects.
Mm, okay.
I agree with that too. Yep.
I think a prime example of that is that up at Chelan Hills, my dad owned a valley and it was worthless, but he bought it so he could use the tennis courts. Well, somebody wanted to buy it from him because they were going to fill the whole valley in so they could build on it. And I think that would be an example of why a fill and grade permit would be something that would be a good thing, because who knows, you know, what thought process was put into filling that in. Does that fit?
Yeah, that fits.
Well, that's as much as I know on that topic.
Okay.
So.
All right. So we will move on to one more. So the last is really just what we would call limited amendments, which would affect various sections of the code. And this is something that staff does on an ongoing basis, is we keep track of items that are brought to our attention or customers share with us that a section of the code isn't clear or we want to make it more usable. There might be certain discrepancies, there might be typos. So this is really would be a collection of various code sections, things such as new definitions that maybe we're lacking from the code. Maybe there's certain uses that aren't being treated. For example, we had the topic of tree houses come up. So, and we don't have any definition for that. So again, we'll see how much of this we can put together, but that would be kind of the last piece, would be a grouping of limited amendments. So
those would be called customer service.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Customer improvements, all of that. Absolutely.
Very good.
So next steps is we're planning another workshop in July. We'll talk more about the Chelan UGA then and probably some follow-up on Wenatchee, and then start providing some more meat to some of the topics that we've discussed today. And then we'll start scheduling our public hearing process. Right now we're targeting tentatively August, your August meeting. We would start on some of these public hearings. And then ultimately you'd be taking action to provide a recommendation to the board on the various requests. So that is all we have for you on this topic. Was there anything else? Any other questions? I know it's an ambitious docket, but we are seeing how much of this we can move through.
Excellent. Well, it is ambitious. And if anyone on the Planning Commission wasn't anticipating this, you haven't been listening. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to all of this. So if there's any other new business, please interrupt me. I want to ask a question to Jim or Catherine, whoever can answer it. Any word on when we might be meeting in person?
Short answer, no. That's an issue to take up with the board. We've been waiting to see what the governor's actual order is. You know, he rescinded a few of his proclamations this last week. It's as we all know, over the more than a year, expectations get set with messaging coming out of the governor's office, and then it changes. But I would anticipate it could be as early as your July meeting. We're also at the same time waiting for the remodel work that's been occurring in the commissioners, board of commissioners office and conference rooms. And that hasn't been fully completed yet, but I think it's getting really, really close. And I'm not fully aware of what technology upgrades, but I think there's some technology upgrades there so that we may be able to in person, but we may also be able to still facilitate Zoom participation by members who can't attend for some reason in person, or for the public to still participate. I got to work out those details with the board and the county executive, but we haven't had those conversations yet.
Well, I look forward to it because I would like to meet the two commissioners we haven't met yet in person.
You say that now, just wait. There's smell involved, I want you to know.
Oh,
without
no.
Zoom. No, but I think that it's interesting, Jim, that I'm sure you had to basically do something to the bylaws to basically allow Zooms to start to begin with. And I'm wondering, because it seems highly democratic. And as you notice, you know, a lot of companies across the entire country have now established practices that allow their employees to work from home because they didn't find any sort of decrease in efficiency or any sort of things were still worked well. So, you know, considering the fact that it takes 2 hours from one end of Extreme to the other to drive in Chelan County, it's a bit of a disadvantage for folks that live far away from Wenatchee to convene in person. But it is nice to meet people face to face, but yeah.
I agree. Well, we're operating under the governor's proclamation. I think that is referenced at the top of your agenda, but I cannot recall what resolutions or formal votes or direction was given by the Board of Commissioners that underpins all this, but I know it's there. So again, I don't know how this gets unwound and until we know more of that, but it's actually on my list of things to do here closer to the 30th, which is when Governor Inslee has said that he's lifting restrictions. But I and Catherine are anticipating doing something different, whether it'll be July or whether it'll be August, I don't know. But it also, again, has to do with whether we have facilities available, whether we would have to perhaps rent somewhere because we're going to have a public, you know, face-to-face, but we don't have room in the commissioner's office. I don't know. I just don't know that yet.
Unless something changed in the plans, that whole system was designed for just what you're asking for, remote, very convenient remote call-ins from commissioners that could not make the meeting in person.
Just looking at it when I was over there, it was still in pieces. Looking at it, it looked like they're setting this up kind of like theater-like a little bit.
Yes.
It, not really a theater the way you might be thinking, but the way I was thinking for an audience, and there's kind of a platform there, it looks like they've got set up, and it's definitely going to be configured differently.
There won't be room for dancing girls, but there should be room for Zoom meetings.
Excellent. Jim, do you have any... you've talked about in the past some new hires, I think, with the Board of Commissioners. Are there any new hires you want to tell us about?
We've actually had quite a bit that has occurred on that front, and we've had a couple of challenges that have occurred on that front as well. And Catherine can catch me if I forget anybody. So Michaela Overbay was hired, was formerly Michaela Haig, now Michaela Overbay, was hired to replace Lynn Machado several months ago. And so she has been the administrative supervisor in there for the last few months. She's working to take over web page as well, except for the short-term rental page, which I'm maintaining because it's so detailed and I'm so entrenched in that process, it's not fair to give it to her. So we're doing some changes there. She's going to be working with you at some point in the near future, if she hasn't already, about getting county emails assigned to each one of you. So that for public disclosure reasons and all of that, you're not having to work off of public personal emails for public business. Who else have we hired? We've hired Luis Lozano. Luis is a permit technician who's got in his job description pieces of assisting code enforcement logistics and primarily as the short-term rental permitting technician. So he'll be the lead person handling permitting for all short-term rentals that come in the department. We will provide whatever other assistance from other permit techs at high peak time and the initial rush of folks coming in to handle that, but that's his role. Received an acceptance letter yesterday for the short-term rental program division manager that's going to be hired, that has been hired, that will start on the 26th of July. Her name is Kirsten Riles. Kirsten has a master's degree in business administration, a bachelor's, I can't remember in what. She was a longtime administrator at Confluence Health Hospital and put together several significant programs there, including the spine clinic, when it was originally put together, and bringing multiple disciplines together and all of the pieces that go with that, not just with personnel, but with billing, forms, working with insurance companies, all of that. And of late, she has been, the last few years, she has been the executive director at, I cannot remember the facility. It's one of the assisted living facilities that is, you know, it's got, I'm not sure what you call it, people who are residents versus just simple assisted living versus, so basically like a nursing home plus assisted living. And she's been running that, and she navigated that whole program through COVID. As you can imagine, what those facilities were, that were ground zero for COVID-related issues. And she's been the chief cook and bottle washer there when they've been shorthanded. And she had applied for another position in here. And she just, frankly, after multiple interactions with her, she impressed the heck out of us. And so I brought her in front of Catherine and I and Chris Young, our building official, the other day, for a interview, and she just really did extremely well. So she's gonna be starting the program. I'll be working really closely with her as at the prosecutor's office and others. We have a couple of other positions potentially slated for that as well, that are the, what former Commissioner Doug England had an idea for, like a monitoring technician type person in the summertime that could go to problem neighborhoods and kind of monitor what's going on in those and have the list of owners to contact and maybe try and stop some of these problems short of having to get code enforcement involved. We've got a couple of FTEs that are not yet funded, but we're planning in the next budget cycle that would also be supervised out of that office. We have hired Mark, help me with his last name.
Schexnader.
Mark Schexnader is coming to us. I don't know what it is with Arizona, but we've got now three staff, soon to be four staff, that have come out of Arizona. And he is coming to us from Arizona to be our planner two, who is a certified floodplain manager. Originally, we had a floodplain manager position only staffed. And once Chris Young, who is also a longtime floodplain manager as the building official, came in, he said, that's not the job you need. Here's what you need. And we redesigned the job, worked through HR, and that's going to bring us planning horsepower and shoreline master plan administration horsepower as well as floodplain management. Who am I forgetting, Catherine?
I think you may have mentioned Emily last month, our permit.
Last month, and I think I mentioned Cindy Wright, our new records clerk. And note of the literally hundreds of case files. So if I don't know if any of you have been in the office, but saw where the code enforcement office was. After we enforcement, a third of that entire code enforcement room was filled to the neck level on me, and I'm 6 feet tall, with archive boxes full of code enforcement files. And over the last 3 months, our temporary clerk and other staff have whittled that down to about 4 archive boxes and have scanned everything into the system so that we have everything that's in code enforcement history scanned into the system. And Cindy and Michaela and Fran, our express services temporary, were instrumental in making that happen. So all these added staff that we've got, even though we still have some holes, we're actually getting progress. We're moving down the field on numerous major issues that have been needed to deal with. The one disappointment was we had a long-range planner who you would have been interacting with on a, you know, regular basis that we had hired and had been holding the position open while she was looking for employment for her husband and for employment or for housing. And both of those issues fell through, and supposed to start on next Tuesday, and we found out, I think it was Monday, she was gonna start next Monday. And we found out this Monday that she was declining the position and is not coming. So we're in search for a long range planner again. That hurt. Especially when you see the docket that you're staring at.
Yeah, my goodness. Well, a lot of changes. Okay, just to give you everyone an update, and Jim or Catherine, you can correct me if I say anything wrong. The Shoreline Master Program edit was, the hearing was held, and it was passed by the Board of Commissioners on the 8th of June. I believe there was only one change to it, and that was the discussion we had on the word replaced, replacing a non-conforming structure. Otherwise, I think it went through as presented. Yesterday, I guess it was, and then, was it Monday? Anyway, there's been other short-term rental workshops that Jim has presented, and they've gone through, they've completed their workshops. They've made some changes. If anyone's interested, they should go to the website that Jim has been so diligently keeping up, and they are all there. The hearing is it next Tuesday or when's the hearing? Next Tuesday
during their normal session, but it will be a marathon session.
Yes, it will. And they're going to change. If you want to talk to your constituents or any of your friends or anyone, there'll be a couple of things. First of all, the comments are going to be taken until Friday, what, at 5 p.m.? Is that when you're going to cut it off?
July 2nd at 5 p.m. comment window will close.
Okay. And second of all, they will be taking public comment, but they're going to do it in a different manner. And Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. I think what they're going to do is have those that want to make comments basically be at the meeting on Zoom, use the little raised hand button, and then they will just start selecting people in a random order. And that way they will get a good cross-section, as opposed to when one group or another group tries to fill up all the spots ahead of time, and then you don't get a good cross-section. So it's going to be a little different, but if anyone wants to make a comment, they need to be prepared to make one, but they may not get called. So there you go.
I can add comments to those two issues.
Yep.
Here. Regarding yes. the SMP, the non-conforming is allowed to be rebuilt as long as, through an administrative determination, we're able to determine that there's been no net ecological loss. Right. That has to be shown as an element through a SAD process. And then, so in other words, you can replace on those SMP lots, as I think the Planning Commission majority voted for. But yep. But the added element was put in that as long as there's no net ecological loss. So that clearly ties it back to the intent
right.
of
that. That makes sense.
Regarding short-term rentals, I would say don't look at the current code for another day or so, because I got got the clean copy back from Lisa. You know, now it doesn't have all the highlighting, doesn't have all the comments, all that. So I've been going through it line by line. I spent 4 hours on it today. And I've made a few minor, you know, missing a period, this should be one sentence, that type of stuff, referring to permits as licenses. We don't licenses, we do permits, you know, so I'm changing those things. But I found three sections that are in conflict with each other about registering as grandfathering. It isn't going to change the grandfathering issues that we're agreed to in the workshop, but one allows you so many months to fix this. Another allows you until December 31 of 2022 to fix this. And another says you can't fix it at all. You can't have your permit. So I'm trying to pull those three together and to something at least. Now, remember, this isn't the final version. The board's got to vote on a final version, but something I can put on the website that is not confusing. And this is what happens. And I think those who are participating in this from the Planning Commission may remember, you move one thing over here, you got to remember that it affects something over here, or that you're referencing something similar over here. And so when you put a different window of time on it about the same topic down below, plus add a few more words in that change the context, you got to make those work together. So that's the stuff I'm working on. I've got it all teed up, kind of roughed out what I need to fix, but I just ran out of time today, and I hope to have it on. I will have it on by sometime late in the day tomorrow. I just got to get that language right so that it's not confusing for the public when they're trying to get their thoughts together for the comments they want to make. I want it to be as close to something I think the board is going to be wanting to move forward on. That way the comments that we receive are relevant.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Is there any other business comments?
Just one more thing. Look at the picture that I'm going to show.
What? Oh, okay.
Where'd it go?
That's the baby right there.
Looks much better than you.
Arlo Sol Hibbard Martinez. So.
Very good.
I just want to comment on the fact that I'm really proud of the work that community development is doing right now. You guys are really moving forward and tackling some difficult issues and getting things in place where it's going to be workable. And I just can't tell you how thrilled I am over that.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. We're so far behind before we even walked in the door. That's the frustrating part for us, is business goes on a daily basis, and you're having to catch up, and you're short a couple of key positions. And I appreciate the grace that the Planning Commission has extended to us in recognition of that. And we've certainly tried to reduce our error rate in communication and packet preparation and things for you, so that you have what you need for the valuable time that you donate to the county to be able to do this work.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay. If there are no other items, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move. This is Doug.
Second by Ryan.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay, next meeting I think is July, 28th, 7 o'clock.
Very good.
Good evening, guys.
Night.
Yep. Everybody stay safe and hydrated this weekend. It's going to be a scorcher.
Yep.
113 degrees.
Crazy. Yeah,
thank you for that.